previously on Algoa FM Breakfast.
This morning, we're joined by Senior Energies and Commodities Strategist, Mr. Ted Blom, to help us understand just what on earth is going on. Mr. Blom, thank you for taking the time to chat to us.
Hi, good morning to you and to your listeners.
Mr. Blom, the situation is dire, to say the least, and for normal, everyday South Africans, it feels as though we're sitting ducks at Eskom's mercy, just waiting in between blackouts for the lights to come back on again. Please paint a broad picture for us in terms of the extent of the problem and whether there is any way that the situation can be salvaged at all.
Okay, what it do is one issue at a time. The scope of the delay within Eskom is actually the largest in the 100-year history of Eskom. They had, over the last 2 weeks, they consistently had more than 40 units breakdown out of a total fleet of just over 80 units. So, yes, more than half of the fleet is actually broken down. But we are salvaged by the fact that not all the units are the same size. Some of them are smaller and some of them are larger. And thank goodness some of the larger units haven't broken down yet. However, the dilemma has been caused essentially by mismanagement from Eskom's side. Over the last 3 years, they vacillated between fixing up all the coal baseload stations and refurbishing them properly, which was the first undertaking Mr. De Reiter gave. He then changed his mind and said, no, instead of pumping money into old plants, he's going to rather invest it in renewables. And he targeted the big number that he wanted to invest in renewables, notwithstanding that he doesn't have money. Then after that, in the last month or so, he's now touting gas as a possible solution. You can't, and that's why when he was appointed, I objected and I said, man, you've got to appoint somebody who comes from Eskom, who's got deep experience in the energy generation industry, etc. We can't afford to have novices who vacillate because they don't have any root experience between various alternatives. Which, as it is, each party that sells technology is pumping Eskom to try and use their technology and, in fact, offering big kickbacks under the table in some of the technologies that I'm aware of. So that's where we are. Can we do something about it? Yes, we can do something about it, but it's going to require somebody with a little bit of energy experience, which, as I said, we don't have at the moment at leading Eskom. I sat down with Eskom more than 3 years ago because I could see this happening, and I offered an alternative. The alternative I offered came from the same team that salvaged Beirut's power within 7 days after that massive fertilizer explosion right next door to their main power station and restored power to Beirut within 7 days. These guys can deliver a gigawatt, which is 1,000 megawatts of power, every 3 weeks, provided they've got proper teams in place and that the proper facilitation is given in terms of EIAs or place to put the plant down. So it is salvageable. The cost is a little bit higher, but again, the people at Eskom don't have a clue to do a competitive and advantageous costing, in the sense that they complain about the cost of what is now being paid as a penalty compared to what the cost of lost power is to the economy. The cost of lost power to the economy has conservatively been estimated at 100 rand a kilowatt hour. My own estimate, because of the disruption in your household and everywhere with people waiting to work, etc., is that the actual cost is probably closer to 500 to 800 rand a kilowatt hour. If that's the cost of lost production, then everything else becomes very, very affordable.
So Ted, what you're saying, reading between the lines, even though the power stations are very old, and that's the excuses they are giving, it's as a result of the lack of proper maintenance.
Absolutely. The current management has cut the maintenance budget over the last 3 years by more than 75% in some instances.
Ted, albeit a short period for André De Ridder as CEO, should he and the current management be replaced, even though these problems were there long before they ever arrived?
Well, it depends on what you call long. In 2017, Eskom had no load shedding, and they burned less than 9 million litres or 10 million litres of diesel for a whole year. Eskom is burning more than that per week at the moment. So just 5 years ago, Eskom had no load shedding, and this old so-called decrepit plant. You see, it's all about excuses. And the fact of the matter is that Europe is currently starting a plant that is far older than Eskom, and in peak condition in terms of running and efficiency, et cetera, compared to spec. The reason Eskom can't perform to spec on this older plant is because it hasn't been properly maintained. They've had people that are not properly skilled, as is now clear from the big draft to get skilled back into Eskom. And thirdly, they use pirate parts. So Mr. Director's original strategy, when he took the job, was that he was going to refurbish and use the OEMs, bring them in. That was the right strategy. I didn't agree that he was going to get warranties from him, because nobody will give you a warranty on an abused machine. But that showed you the la-la land that Mr. Director came from, that he actually believed that he could get warranties from the OEMs. The fact of the matter is that the Eskom is rescuable, but you need to now create space, because they've more than half of the fleet hasn't been properly refurbished, hasn't been properly maintained, and is in a dire state. In fact, Eskom doesn't have parts. I've got whistleblowers telling me that they go to the local hardware store to go and buy parts to try and patch up Eskom's equipment. It's like using motor car parts to fix up a 50-ton truck.
Crazy. Are you able to tell us, I mean, you just mentioned now you've got whistleblowers there, how much diesel is burning per hour, per minute, just to keep the lights on right now, even with Stage 6 blackouts?
Okay, so before Stage 6, we were at Stage 4, Eskom was burning more than 9 million litres per day. I can give you the burn rate. The burn rate is 50,000 litres per hour for each of those OCGTs, or open cycle gas turbines, which are burning diesel. And each one generates 149 megawatts per hour.
That is hectic. Mr. Blom, in a press briefing held yesterday, André de Reiter mentioned that the annual budget of 7.7 billion had already been spent on diesel in just 5 months. They're now going to be issued with another 500 million. But if 7.7 billion is spent in 5 months, how far is 500 million rands going to go?
Well, that's the joke of the whole story. Show you how out of touch these people are. 500 million is going to probably buy you a week's worth of diesel.
1 week?
At level six, yes.
What is your gut telling you right now in terms of where we're going this week?
Well, I mean, I think the situation is going to get a little bit worse before it gets better, unfortunately. Because Eskom is now only trying to sort of pull fingers, so to speak, and try and get some more energy from other sources. The fact of the matter is, nobody runs a company or even a country with massive excess saleable power, other than Eskom, which had a massive competitive advantage on cost and was able to supply the whole sub-Saharan Africa. They talked about, Mr. Ramaphosa talked about going to Botswana. Well, that's a joke. Botswana has actually got rid of some of its Eskom needs, built its own power station. They got the Chinese in. It didn't work so well. They got the Germans in to fix it up. And Botswana said, listen, on a good weekend, we can maybe let you have 50 megawatts of power, which in the context of the shortfalls of 6,000, 7,000 megawatts by Eskom is a joke. It's a drop in the ocean. So, yes, I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. Sasol and Mondi, their co-generation opportunities, again, you're talking about drops in a bucket that might become available. And it might mean that they even have to curtail their own operations to be able to help Eskom out a little bit. But they don't have massive installations like Eskom has.
All right, Senior Energies and Commodities Strategist Mr. Ted Blum providing an overview of what would seem a bleak future as far as the power utility is concerned for business, industry and the livelihood of just normal civilians. Thank you so much, Mr. Blum, for chatting to us this morning.
You're most welcome.
Algoa FM Breakfast is the business.